This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire! Thursday, July 22nd. We've now had a little bit over 36 hours to let the whole Bucks are champions thing marinate, of course. Everybody's been very, very happy that the Bucks are champs, right? A non-super team. Giannis has a ring, and by the way, yes, I did, like everyone else, love that Giannis went and got a 50-piece on the court, and then went and got a 50-piece in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Yes, Giannis, definitely stay winning. Hey, before I dive into this Bucks take, and I don't think it's going to be for everyone, I wanted to just let you guys know, this is a big day for me. I have been playing a lot of tennis lately. Pretty much the last, 6 months, at least once a week, really working hard for this tennis tournament that I got. And my first round match is today. If I win, I play Friday. If I win, I play Saturday. And then if I get to like the semifinals, it's Saturday night. So two games in a day would be tough. Sunday would be the championship. I don't know. The field is much larger than it was when I got to the semis in 2019. And this is how nerdy I am. This is a snapshot into Jason McIntyre. So I've been playing tennis with a bunch of different dudes. I sent the draw to 5 different people who I play tennis with. They all play, most of them play at this country club, but a lot of them play in this thing called a ladder. I don't play in the ladder. They don't know one person in the bracket. And I don't know whether to be, maybe I have a chance. Or, mystery. I have no scouting report. You guys know me as I coach my kids in sports, and I like to have a scouting report, whether it's soccer, basketball, whatever. I like to know what I'm going up against. Now, I did recognize at the third time I looked at the draw, one name, and it happens to be the fantasy football commissioner for a league I'm in. I barely know the guy. He's a real estate dude. But of course, I text one of his friends. Is he good? Oh, I don't know. You have to ask this guy. He's played him. And of course, I've played the buddy who played him. So I text him. I say, hey, man, yeah. How good is this guy? He's in my draw. I would face him in the semifinals, possibly, if I get that far. I'm probably looking way ahead and I'm overthinking it. I'm going to probably bow out in the first round. He goes, oh, dude, he's slow. You could easily run him around and crush him. But he has a really good serve. And I mean, that's the scouting report I'm looking for. Guys, this is how nerdy I am. Listen, I don't mind admitting this. I think this is the kind of thing that I pushed big on my Saturday radio show, like snapshots into my life. And sadly, between work, the wife, the kids, like you got to find your small victories. And playing sports for me is a big one. So at any rate, very excited for the tennis tournament. But I'm sure you guys are very excited for my take because I've let this one marinate all night. I thought about it, and I started to push back a little bit on people yesterday, and then I said, no. I'm going to really think this one over. And it has to do with the Giannis quote, with what Giannis said after they won the championship. Now, I did post this on IG, and here is the quote. This is what Giannis said after winning the title. It's easy to go somewhere and go win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go to a super team and just do my part and win a championship. But this is the hard way to do it. And this is the way to do it. And we did it. Effing did it. We did it, man. And I like Giannis. I love his story. He is really one of the great sports stories of this century. I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, 8 years ago, Giannis was basically selling CDs in the streets of Greece as a, maybe not eight. Maybe it was like, when he was like 12 years old, and now maybe it's 15 years ago. He was selling CDs out of like a trunk of a car in the streets of Greece with his brothers. Now all three of them are in the NBA. All three have titles. And of course, Giannis, 2 MVPs of the league, as well as a finals MVP. The thing is, he's wrong on this quote, guys. It's not the easy way out to go join a super team. And people don't want to give it the time and actually think about it, but I have done that. And I've mentioned this before on the radio. I have touched on the podcast. I'm just telling you, it is the hard way out to go join a super team. The easy way out is just staying in your city. That's the easy way. The hard way is starting over. That's what you do when you leave your team to go join a super team and you start over. Okay? Now, how you say, Jason, how is it hard to start over? Well, think about life. Okay? And I've used this analogy before. You're climbing a mountain, a hypothetical mountain. And in real life, we're all climbing a mountain, whether it's sports, whether it's work, whatever field you're in, accounting, private equity, video games. It doesn't matter. We're all trying to get to the top, trying to be the best. And not everyone's going to reach the top. That's obvious, right? I mean, it's really hard, obviously, to reach the top of any field. A lot of people just give up or they get content in where they are and other stuff takes priority in life. Not everybody wants to compete and get to the top. But we are all climbing a mountain. That's undeniable, right? Some people just say, screw it. I don't want to climb to the top. I'm good making my salary or wherever I am. I'm making money. I set my family up. I'm having fun. I'm traveling. I'm not going to get to that, but I don't care. I'm not really built that way. I definitely want to get to the top or die trying. But we're all different, right? That's what the beauty of being on planet Earth, right? So you're climbing this mountain and you hit a roadblock. There's just no way around it to the top, none at all. So you're faced with two choices. Do you come down the mountain a little bit and look for another path? Or do you go all the way back down to the bottom of the mountain and start over? Not a lot of people want to go down to the bottom and start over. Think about it. In your field, whatever you do, and I keep using accounting. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the movie Office Space and TPS reports, obviously. But think about it. You can't get to the top of accounting. You don't want to like take a step back to maybe take a step forward to a different company. You say, you know what? Screw it. I'm out of this field. I've always had a passion for science, philosophy, coaching, whatever it is. I'm out. You're going back to the bottom of the mountain and starting over. Now think about this from an NBA perspective. Okay? You are drafted. You're a top five pick. You're drafted by whatever team drafts you. You have no control over anything. Not the city you go to, not the coach you're drafted to, not what the front office does. You aren't in charge of anything. You have no say in the matter in anything. You can pull them along and they can kind of be along for a ride, but ultimately you have no say. And I've used this example many times. Kevin Durant was close to the mountaintop in OKC. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden got to the NBA Finals. They lost to the Heat. Everybody looked at that roster and said, oh my gosh, Russ is under 25. KD's under 25. Harden's under 25. This team is set. What does the idiot GM Sam Presti do? He trades James Harden like a month later, 2 months later. Like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? They didn't think they could afford Harden. Okay? Kevin Durant was nearly to the top of the mountaintop. And the GM trades James Harden, who turns out to be an MVP. Like, that's out of Kevin Durant's hands. So, what should he do? Should he stick around and try to win? This is where Giannis gets it wrong. The only way you have a say is in free agency. That's your only say. Unless the team comes to you and says, what do you think about acquiring this guy? Hey, LeBron, back in Cleveland, back in the day, we see the Celtics anteing up Orlando. I mean, they added pieces around Dwight Howard. We're thinking of bringing in 34-year-old Shaq and Antoine Jameson. Really? The Cavs failed LeBron in his first stint in Cleveland. They did. That's undeniable. Look at the guys they brought in. Larry Hughes? Come on. The hell out of here with that. So these players have no say. So the hard way out is to leave your comfort zone. Get out of the team that drafted you. Remember, you're there for 6, 7, 8, 9 years with the same franchise. That's your home. You get to the NBA, whether it's 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever, and you're on your rookie contract for like 4, 5, 6, 7 years. That's as long as you've pretty much stayed anywhere. Remember, you go away to college. Some of them just go straight to the pros. Dwight Howard grew up in the Atlanta area, straight to the pros. Spent all his time with Orlando, got to the finals, didn't work out. I'm out. This is what happens. Like, you're faced with the decision. Do I want to start over and make that tough decision? Man, life is easy. Life is good. It is real easy to just stay here and keep playing and deal with whatever the front office does. All the fans are going to love you because you stuck around. That is easy. You know what's hard? Going to all those fans and saying, sorry, guys, I'm leaving. All those fans that loved you, they now hate you because you could not win a championship and you're leaving. The jerseys they bought of you, they're disappointed. They're, in Cleveland, they burned them. Okay? Ah, but it's bigger than that. Not only do your fans in your hometown now dislike you because you're leaving, but all the fans around the league are really ticked off at you because you joined this superstar team. Think about when LeBron went to the Heat. All of Cleveland hated LeBron instantly. Oh, you're ditching us? We're in Cleveland. We got nothing cooking and you're leaving? The greatest thing ever to happen to Cleveland and you're leaving? Well, you suck. We hate you. But it didn't just stop there. Every other team, fan base, all of a sudden hated LeBron. Now you could say, oh, Jason, just because the decision on ESPN. Fine. Okay. Fair enough. But let's remember these same fans who around the country hated you in every city because you made the Heat, the stacked Heat. Guess what? They all went to your games. They paid tickets to go see you because you were the greatest show. They hated you, but they went to see your games. Fine. You want to say LeBron was hated because of the decision? Fine. Let's look at Kevin Durant. Almost gets to the mountaintop, loses in the finals. Then almost takes down the 73-win Warriors with OKC. They were leading 3-2. Klay Thompson has the game of all games in game six. Epic three-point performance. And they lose. He's again close to the mountaintop. Does he want to start all over? Can he stomach that? He leaves. So OKC fans hated Kevin Durant. Booed him mercilessly for the next like many years every time he would come back. Couldn't stand him. Russell Westbrook hated him. Russell Westbrook would not speak to him. Remember the All-Star game? It took like 8 or 9 months for Russell Westbrook to acknowledge Durant. But it wasn't just that. It was everyone else around the league. Oh, man, you're going to the Warriors? Even though they just lost to the Cavs, they had won a title before. They won 73 games in the regular season. And you're stacking on that team? So that's the tough way out. Leaving, you now have no fans in the hometown where you just spent 8 years. And everyone else in the league hates you except for the Warriors and that new city which loves you. You're telling me that's the easy way out when nobody likes you? And this is where it gets amplified. And again, nobody thinks about this when these guys are making the decision. And Giannis is popping off these tough guy quotes about that's the easy way out. Giannis is 1,000% wrong. It's not easy to go join a super team. And here's why. The advent of social media. When LeBron left for the decision, Twitter was like super duper tiny. It did not really register a lot. By the way, I looked it up. I joined in 2009, but Twitter was not huge. It was not like an everyday thing. I don't think Twitter popped for like 3 or 4 more years. Instagram, and I looked this up, started in 2010. Started. Didn't really pop till like 2015. And I remember this because as we're getting ready to leave Pennsylvania, all these people are on Instagram. And I had an account, and I didn't really know what to post. I'm like, who's going to care what I'm posting? Then, boom, we moved to Los Angeles, and I start posting, and then the follower count starts picking up. I'm like, oh, okay, I get Instagram now. But Instagram was behind the curve. Fast forward to currently, okay? Social media is where everybody spends their time. It's in your pocket. The apps are amazing. Everybody has an iPhone. Now think about the players that take the, quote, easy wrong way out. It used to just be that those people hated you out there. The fans from your town that you abandoned, which you're in your right to do, and all the fans of the other cities who are angry at you for starting a team. Well, guess what? Not only did they just hate you when you go to their arena, they boo you. Now they're in your pocket every single time you go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Every single time. Bile, anger, sell out, whatever they want to say, they're in your pocket every single day. And think about this. These athletes have millions of followers. I saw, by the way, this week, Lionel Messi posted a photo of him with the trophy when Argentina national team finally won with Messi. They finally won a title. It's the most liked photo in the history of Instagram. It had like 21 million likes or something. Okay? Do you know that the same people cheering for Messi and liking that photo also were giving him crap on social media every time he missed a PK or Argentina lost in the World Cup finale or the Euro finale? It's all like, you stink, you suck, you're a failure, blah, blah, blah. That's the world of social media that these athletes are in. That is the hard way out. Not everybody's built for that. And that's where Giannis is wrong. Giannis took the easy way out. I'm going to stay in Milwaukee. Nobody's going to hate Giannis if he stays. No, I mean, the guy's great. He's extremely likable. I like Giannis. He's fun. He's a great story. It's the easy way out. Now, we should note, as much as LeBron's front office failed him in Cleveland and Kevin Durant's front office failed him in OKC, Giannis's front office, boy, did they deliver. They went out, spent three first-round picks, and grabbed Drew Holiday, who was a difference maker in the finals. I know he didn't shoot well, but in the most pivotal game, game five, 27-13, his defense picking up Chris Paul full court, that changed the series. His defense was amazing. The front office helped Giannis. Did a great job. Amazing job. Bobby Portis, great, huge win. And still, despite all that good stuff, they were about 2 inches away. Kevin Durant's foot was barely on the line for that three-pointer at the end of Game 7 in regulation. If that's a three and not a two, Budenholzer's probably fired, and we're talking about Giannis failing for a third straight postseason. So, like, that's the small margin of error and the difference in something as fun as the NBA. I'm just, listen, I'm not bashing Giannis for saying this. I'm just saying he's wrong. It's a nuanced discussion, so you can't go on social media and say this because people are like, no, it's just easy to leave. No, it is not. Not everybody's built for that. Why do you think guys like Dame Lillard have been reluctant to say I want out? Because they're not ready for the brushback. Do you know how small of a town Portland is? Do you guys know what's going to happen to Dame the second he says, I demand a trade? I mean, I'm not saying people are going to show up on his front lawn and be like, we hate you, how could you abandon us? But I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, somebody came on my radio show a month back. I forget who it was. A guest from Portland. And said, Portland is the city of people walking in and say, I need to talk to your manager. Like, that's the kind of city Portland is. They are very angry. They are willing to argue over anything. I personally have never been, so I can't critique it. A friend just went to Bend, Oregon and was raving about it. It says it feels like a junior Austin, Texas. I don't know, Bend, Oregon. Maybe I'll buy some real estate there. Kidding, of course. But Bradley Beal, is he built for leaving and demanding to go to a super team? Again, not all these guys are. LeBron can take it. Kevin Durant can take it. But then, you know, I say he can take it and, oh, wait, what? Kevin Durant's creating fake accounts to argue with people on the internet? He's doing that? That's a thing that's happening? Again, not everybody's built for it. I mean, Kevin Durant recently held like an IG live with fans or did a clubhouse or whatever it was. And he basically was like, why do I have to tell you my decision on why I did that or why I feel that way or whatever? And the guy's like, well, essentially the guy's like, well, what are you doing holding this thing for fans if you don't want to answer the question? Like, Kevin Durant's taking this too far. Like, and that's where the social media aspect of this is totally underplayed and missed by everybody on the super team. Like, Kevin Garnett did not want to leave Minnesota. He gets traded to Boston. Kevin Garnett's a hero and all-time great. Before that, he was just a good guy, good player. Won an MVP in Minnesota. Could never get to the top of the mountain. Now, Kevin Garnett is an all-time great because of one super team championship. So I'm not going to bash super teams. Personally, I love them. I thought the last decade of the NBA has been one of the most exciting runs the league has had since Magic in the 80s. I personally didn't think the Jordan 1 run was great because he was so dominant against everybody and the league was so watered down with so many like good, not great teams. I don't know, guys. I hope this explained why I feel that the tough way out is leaving to join a super team. But again, leaving your comfort zone, a place where everybody loves you. You walk into any store and they're happy to see you. They're thrilled. They're taking pictures. Can I have your autograph? We love you. You know, that's what it is when you stay. When you leave, all those people instantly hate you. Nobody wants to be hated. Nobody. Trust me, I get negative comments all the time on social media. It just happens. It's part of it comes with the territory. Do you know how many negative comments I've got in person from people? Zero. Not one in my life. Nobody said, you suck, you're an idiot. Never to my face. funny one that I don't think I mentioned on the pod. So, you know, you guys follow me on the gram. Our family went down to Orange County to go to this pretty cool, like, Bay Harbor type place, and they had inflatable American Ninja Warrior type things, and in the lake. I think it was a bot. It might have been off the ocean, but there's no waves, right? So you have to wear like a life vest, and you go out there and you can jump off. It's really fun and awesome. I highly recommend it. It's in Orange County. So me and my son come out a little early. You know, my son was cold, and I was like, oh, listen, I've had enough. I'm done. I had jumped off this high thing, and I didn't do the pencil jump off. So my arms were out, and I got this like, just it burned under my arms for like 30 minutes. So I was like, you know what? I'm good. So I returned the vests. And then I come back, and my wife and daughter were out by that point. So I take their vest to return them. And as I'm going up, these younger guys, either high school or young college, are walking by me, and they're looking at me. And I was like, oh. I mean, no, I didn't really think anything of it. They're just looking at, like, you know, like kind of staring. And I was like, huh. Anyway, so I return the vest. I turn around. I walk by them on the way back. And this guy goes, excuse me, are you Jason McIntyre? And I kind of stopped, and I looked around like, am I being punked? You know, where's the camera? Are these guys going to make fun of me? Are they going to attack? Like, I really had no idea because I haven't got that in a few months. We've been in a pandemic. I'm not out all the time. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. And they were like, oh, dude, I love your work. This one guy says it. And I'm like, oh, so he shakes my hand. I was like, oh, hey, thanks a lot, man. Thanks. I was a little surprised. And it was a nice feeling. And again, I have no idea who that guy is. He did not hit me up on social media to say, hey, that was me. Somebody did that once at Shake Shack, but that's another story. And then I go to play pickup basketball this week. And, you know, there's an indoor game. It's 3-on-3. And we're kind of dividing up the teams. And this guy, you know, young guy, I couldn't tell if he was a good player. Young black guy, and like, you know, he's well-built. But his shot looked weird, so I didn't. You know, I was like, oh, he looks okay. He's athletic. And he goes, as we divide up, I go, you want to go here? This guy's really good. You got to guard him. And he's like, all right. And he looks at me, he goes, hey, you on ESPN? And I pause. I was like, no, FS1. He's like, that's where I know you from. And again, he doesn't even know my name, but he says, oh, that's where I know you from. And of course, gosh, I should not even be admitting this. So we play the first game. And I missed like my first 7 shots. It was in my head. I was like, oh, great. This guy's seen me on TV. He knows my work. And now if I go and stink it up, he's going to be, oh, geez, that guy's talking about Giannis. And here he is. He can't make a shot. And I shot so poorly. We lost the first game. And then I dug in and I played better. And we won. And then we won. And then we won again. But I'll tell you, this guy was awesome. He kept making all these threes. I was like, geez, this guy's unbelievable. At any rate, small potatoes. Bottom line is, for us little guys in media, like, nobody's going up. I'm sure you guys saw this. Kendrick Perkins, for some reason, blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why. I do have his cell phone. I have invited him on the pod via text. He did not reply. This was a while back. And then I just found out he blocked me this week for whatever. I have no idea. I didn't say anything to him. Whatever. I guarantee you nobody's going up to Kendrick Perkins and saying, you suck, you're a sellout, blah, blah, blah. On social media, keyboard warriors, they're willing to do that. I'll tell you this, fans are crazy. You've seen them in the arenas, spitting on Trae Young in the Garden, dumping water. What was the guy? Dump ice on Russell Westbrook. Like, fans are passionate about these players. It's not easy to leave, guys. You need to understand that. Going to a super team, you're more likely to win a title. Yes, 100%. Mentally, super difficult. Yeah, I figure we need to talk about this Texas-Oklahoma report that the Houston Chronicle claims Texas and Oklahoma are angling to get to the SEC. Personally, I think it's crazy. I think there's no chance of it. I think it's absolutely insane that the Houston Chronicle would try to break a story like this. But there are hurdles, even if they think they can pull it off. Because according to one report, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are tied together. They have to be in the same conference. And the idea that Texas A&M, when they left for the SEC, they want to be the only SEC school in Texas. Now, obviously, Texas has a massive following. The Longhorn Networks has been a failure, but they have a huge national following. Listen, I'm not going to dive too deep into this. It sounds like a pipe dream, but I'll say this, Okay? Folks, bigger is better. We know this, okay? All leagues are angling for as much money as possible. You want to get the best teams in leagues. We just saw this summer that the attempt that the Super League made in Europe, trying to break away and form a elite of the best of the best soccer league, okay? That failed spectacularly. We know that the NBA is trying to have two more teams. They're trying to expand. That's on the table. Adam Silver has discussed it. They're looking to expand. The NFL, why are they pushing Europe? Take a guess. They're trying to expand their footprint. Get new audience. Continue to rake in the revenue. There's money to be made. Bigger is better in sports. That's obvious. And I will say this, as a disclosure, I am partial owner of a Liga MX team, Necaxa. I've talked about it on this pod. It was written about in a couple places on the internet. We know that there's lots of speculation that the MLS and Liga MX, the two best soccer leagues in North America, are trying to join forces and make like a great, spectacular North American soccer league with like 50 teams to rival what's in the EPL. If you join forces, bigger is better. That's what's happened. So, I mean, it sounds insane, and I don't think Texas, Oklahoma will end up in the SEC, but I don't know why anybody's shocked by this. Like, this is what everybody's trying to do. How do we make more money? We join forces with other big people. That's the move. Consolidation and growing is just, I mean, listen, it would be awesome, obviously, for the sport. I don't know how, like, the SEC already is the best league, but now you're taking the two best from the Big 12. Like, geez. I mean, Big 10's really good. Pac 12 has been down for a while, but they're good. SEC just getting bigger. Like, that's a story. And I want to close out real quick. I mentioned when this Deion Sanders thing went down. Deion Sanders, was it like a media day, and somebody referred to him as Deion, and he said, hold up. Don't call me Deion. Call me Coach Deion or Coach Sanders or Coach Primetime, whatever he wanted to be called by. And the guy's like, "Whoa, huh?" And he's like, "You don't call Nick Saban Nick. You call him Coach Saban. Call me what I want to be called." And the guy goes, "Okay, Deion." And then Deion Sanders got up and walked away. I mean, the arrogance on Deion Sanders is unbelievable. Like, whatever. I mentioned this on Instagram, that Deion Sanders was one of the worst interviews I ever had as a journalist. Deion Sanders was one, Bobby Knight was another, Steve Francis was another, and Albert Pujols was the other one. I'll quickly just tell the story. So Deion Sanders, you know, I did this this thing, geez, this was way back in the early blog days, it must have been a decade ago, where it was a bunch of bloggers and Deion Sanders, and there was like this clothing brand, I forget the name of it, and we all did like this photo shoot with Deion, and he was fine, okay? So then, afterward, they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll set you up on the phone to interview Deion." Great. So I called Deion. "Hey, Deion, blah, blah, blah," like two questions in. He's like, "I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to answer that." I'm like, okay. When another round, he's like, no, let's talk about this. I was like, but this is like the big story, whatever it was. And he hung up the phone, like literally three questions in, just hung up on me. And then, you know, obviously they tried to set it up. And again, I was like, can you make this happen again? They're like, "Yeah, we talked to Deion. He's not going to talk." Like, okay. Like, I mean, Deion Sanders loves flapping his gums, but when anybody asks any remotely interesting question, he's not having it. Steve Francis, I was freelancing for a website. This is way back. Must have been like 2004, 5, I don't know. Yao Ming was on the Rockets, and they were playing the Nets in Jersey. This is back before they went to Brooklyn. And so they were like, "Hey, we wanted you to do a story on Steve Francis and the Rockets or whatever." So I go in and, you know, talk to Yao Ming through an interpreter is fine. Talk to a couple other guys. And Steve Francis, like, before the game, he's like, nah, you know, I don't answer questions before the game. I was like, it's just like a handful of questions. He's like, "Nope, gonna be after the game." It's fine. So I wait around after the game go up. He's like, "Yeah, I didn't play well. I don't want to talk." I'm like, really? And then he got rude about it. I was like, "It's just two questions." Like, and then he was firm in the locker room, loud. Like, I'm, you know, this was back in the day before Zoom took over. And he was just a total jerk. I mean, listen, Steve Francis always was a problem. Good basketball player for a couple years, but massive attitude, ego. And that's what happens with some of these athletes. Bobby Knight, of course, I've written about it. how he hung up the phone on me a couple times when I broke the story about him and ESPN falling apart. And he's a jerk. We know he's a prick. And then finally, Albert Pujols. This one, maybe he wasn't the biggest jerk. This was the first time I ever covered a Major League Baseball game at Shea Stadium, way, way, way back in the day. 2002? Was it the Bergen record? And they, you know, they threw me a bone one summer. You know, I was like a journalist on the rise, and other newspapers had inquired about me. So then they were like, oh, yeah, we'll send you to the Shea Stadium. We'll let you cover some NBA. And meanwhile, I was covering high schools most of the year. You know, I hated it. It made no money. But they threw me a bone to go to Shea Stadium. And they were like, hey, let's get something on Pujols. I was like, all right, sure. So, of course, you know, before the game, Pujols, same deal as Steve Francis, not talking, doesn't want to talk. Fine. So I'm walking around the bowels of Shea. This is, I don't know, 2 hours before the game. And I see Pujols just walking. Right? And I'm like, okay, there's really nobody around. This is the first time I ever covered baseball. And I was like, oh, maybe I just grab him here. I mean, he's literally just walking around in the bowels of the stadium. I say, hey, Albert, can I get a couple questions? And he looks at me like I have three heads. And he says, no. And then he keeps walking. I mean, I was just stunned. I was like, I'm just asking you a couple questions about baseball. And the guy just looks at me and says, no, and walks away. And I get it. Listen, who wants to be bothered when you're a pro athlete by journalists? Again, this is all like over 15 years ago when I was still a journalist. And then, you know, that kind of interest faded when, you know, a bunch of athletes, they don't care about you guys. The journalists, that is, the ink-stained wretches. And I just, at the time, you know, I was a young guy. I was, I don't know, a couple years out of college. And I was just like, really? Pujols, like, doesn't want to answer a couple, what am I doing here? And I think it was within a year, I realized, like, I'm just done with this crap. Like, these athletes, they don't want to talk. It's fun writing about sports, but then to have to go and interview some of these guys, they wanted no part of newspaper guys. Maybe some of that's changed, and, you know, maybe some guys get it. And maybe if you're on the beat as a regular, they treat you better than just a guy parachuting in. But I was just stunned. Now, I will say, one of the best interviews I ever had was Tom Brady. And this was before he was a massive star. This was when I had pivoted out of newspapers into Us Weekly. And one of the editors like, hey, this is Victoria's Secret Party. Of course, I instantly put my hand up before they even finished the sentence. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Tom Brady's going to be there. Can you ask him some stuff? So I was like, of course. So I go to this Victoria's Secret Party, and I bring my roommate, who actually, just a random guy I met on Craigslist. He actually played football at Penn State. I was like, yeah, Tom Brady's going to be there. He's like, oh, my gosh, I'm definitely coming. And we go, and, you know, there's Victoria's Secret models. It's fun. And all of a sudden, I see Brady, and he's with, like, three of his boys. I didn't know. Maybe they were Patriot guys who weren't major stars. But this is, again, also way back. We're talking, like, 04. Brady hadn't won a million Super Bowls. I might have the years off by a year or two, but I'm not looking at a calendar. At any rate, I go up to Brady, and I'm like, hey, Tom, sorry to interrupt. Can I get a couple questions? He's like, yeah, sure. Okay, Super Bowl-winning quarterback, Tom Brady, willing to answer a couple questions, but Steve Francis could not be bothered. Albert Pujols could not be bothered. Now, Brady was in the offseason. He was at a party. He wasn't liquored up, but he was drinking with his buddies. And, you know, I had to get Brady talking with him. My roommate at the time is standing, like, you know, 8 feet away, like, slack-jawed, like, my roommate is interviewing Tom Brady? What's going on? And Brady, super cool, answers the questions, and I kid you not, in the middle of the interview, some Victoria's Secret model walks up, is like, oh, well, hold on, Tom, I gotta ask you, and like, swoops in and just starts talking to him. And at that point, I kind of figured, okay, I got Brady for a couple minutes. He's talking to a Victoria's Secret model, I'm not gonna hang out like some kind of loser, and try to shake him down. But he couldn't have been nicer. And like, the experiences, it's covering, you know, not always superstars, but athletes, has been interesting. And just to hear this Deion Sanders, don't refer to me as Deion, call me coach, like, just these, the attitudes and the entitlement, like, listen, I'm not ripping Deion Sanders here. My experience with him was terrible. I'm sure he's a fine human being. But I don't know. I just figured I'd explain that because I had a lot of Instagram questions about that. At any rate, just to go back to Texas, Oklahoma, we have just booked a guest for tomorrow's podcast who will explain what the hell's going on. He is in one of those states. I'm not gonna give the name out. He's really good, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. So we'll talk to you then.